This is HICF Ministries. We pride ourselves as a home away from your home country, a home away from your heavenly home, a home where Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. Yes, it's a home where the living word is shared word for word in truth and in love. You are invited to stay tuned. Listen to the Word of Life brought to you by HICF Ministries. And now, Reverend Dr. John Dickey.
It's God that said, seek me, inquire of me. It's God that said, worship. And Pastor Dickey is coming this afternoon to tell you that it's a serious business and it's very, very risky, dangerous. It is a tough and messy business. Just think about that. Every Sunday, it's more than the dress robe of giving your tithes and offerings. It's more than attending cell groups. It's more than singing, there is power, there is power. It's a serious business. It's tough and it's messy. It's very, very risky. One more time, bow your head, let's pray. Father, we have come to inquire of thee in different ways for different purposes. I pray that you minister to each person according to their needs and collectively as your body for your glory and for our blessing. And the church of God say amen. How did we get here? We started on the theme, Sefer, to always inquire of the Lord. However, we've talked about that, however, if you know what the Lord is saying, why do you inquire of him? But for self-measure, what much going over what we have done, the sermons are there. Why always inquire of the Lord? Can't you inquire of others? Why only the Lord? And we said it, the best place that you can inquire of what the situation was and what is now and what it shall be, there is no any other place but at the Lord's feet. Yesterday we had a small meeting with my family. A pastor said he wants to pray with us. And they are just wondering, why death? My brother passed away, my sister passed away, my mother is in the hospital. And usually people will speculate something, it's happening. Even though the whole community thank God for our family. And he was trying to refer to generational cause. That if the foundation is sick, is shaken, if the righteous stands on a shaky foundation, how will the building be? And when the man of God finished, I just say, as much as that can be true, but I also believe everyone will account for his own work. In the New Testament, the Bible did say so. But it's good to always examine yourself. So looking at back, the only place that I can go to inquire was it with my grandfather. By the way, he was a faithful man, and he was the reason the whole family became Christians. Faithful man. Never seen him. Only saw his grave, his tomb. He stood for the word of God. They were persecuted. The only thing I can know about any other thing in my past and what I'm facing now and what I shall be facing is with the Lord. And that is why. Because some things God has not yet revealed, but when we ask him, he may reveal. And it is for our own to find out the matter that is concealed by God for some reasons. The more you rely on God, the better an inquirer you are. And the more you inquire rightly of him and obedient, eventually you will be inquiring less of him. Are you together with me? You start inquiring of God, but as your relationship gets intimate with him, you ask less questions because you are so close with him. You understand, like you are a man after God's own heart. You know what he wants. It is just like breathing. How many people are conscious that they want to breathe now? You've been breathing. That is what I'm talking about. You no longer, no, I want to breathe. If you are conscious you want to breathe, you want to see a doctor. Believe you me. Amen? So that's how it is walking with God, inquiring of the Lord, that you are so much intimate that you don't, it says, until that day when you no longer ask any question. Because what? You are one with the Father. You listen to his heartbeat and he listens to yours. That's why two can walk together, because there is agreement. So it is from this aspect of the theme, Sefer, to always inquire of the Lord, that we went on to how to inquire. We've established our condition. How to inquire, right? How to rightly inquire of God. Next slide. And we did talk about warning when you come to inquire of God. We looked into Judges chapter 20 and as well as Ezekiel chapter 20. You know the story, how they inquire of God and what happened to them. So we came with the conclusion with this statement. Be careful with the supposed yes from the Lord after you have supposedly inquired of him. Good child, you're having an issue. You've come to the Lord to inquire of him. God bless you. It's a good thing. But you know what happened with them, the Israelites and Benjamites? They suffered defeat after inquiry and after the Lord told them to go. Should we go? The Lord said, yes, go. So be careful. And we have outlined things that you have to examine yourself, your past. Be warned. Sin, disobedience, idolatry, pride, hypocrisy, religious rituals can be hindrance to your inquiring of the Lord. The Lord says in Ezekiel 20, he says, I will not let you inquire of me, declares the sovereign Lord. You come to church, you're only interested in hearing what your itchy ears want to hear from the pastor. And there are pastors that will give it to you. Word for word, in Jesus' name. That's what I will give you. Find something. After you have honestly inquired of the Lord and things are even getting worse or not working out, don't compromise. Stand still. Okay? Even till death. Because that song, he will never fail. Past 11th hour. Somebody say amen. Because some of you will be asking, what is then happening? I have inquired of the Lord, but you know, we have prayed, we have fasted. Somebody during counseling say, Pastor, I fasted for 7 days and prayed with my, and nothing happened. And in such moments, you want to be careful to encourage such a person, but the truth of it is, if he doesn't answer, stand still. Even till death, because it can bring you back to life. Amen? Even if God does not answer the Hebrew children, take cue from that. Definitely they might have been expecting, but they told the king, this is not a matter to discuss. I will not compromise. I will not give myself away. Last week, we asked questions. What is it you value or treasure most in your life? And we try to connect that thing that you treasure with the aspect of that is what you're supposed to love most. And that's how we came up with this one. What you value, you treasure most in your life is what you ought to love most. And you should do your utmost to have it, acquire it, as well protect it. That redefines love. What you treasure most is what you should love most. It's not about feeling. It's about the reality of what that thing is in your life. The Bible clearly says in Matthew chapter 6, 21, you know that where your treasure is, so also your heart is. And Mark asks a question. If you gain the whole world and lose your soul, of what benefit is? Oh, this brother is here. God bless you. What is that name? Kevin. You're visiting with us. God bless you. You are to love utmost what will save your soul from eternal condemnation. Salvation in Christ Jesus is the utmost priceless treasure that we all have. What you treasure most will influence your decisions, your doings in this life. Now that you know, because literally sometimes, now that you know Jesus supposed to be salvation is the utmost treasure that you should cherish in your life. Do you know how to find it? Where to find it? Because it is possible you know about something, but you don't know where to get it. So we thank God that you know what you should be looking for in your life. However, you may know what you are looking for, but if you don't know where to look for it, you won't find it. Have you ever been in a situation, you're looking for something, and then they ask, what are you looking? You say, I really don't know. Or you get frustrated. So we talked about how to rightly inquire of God. But I'm trusting today I'm rounding up this series. How to rightly inquire of God. Now, when God asks you to do something, he always gives you, you are equipped with how to do it. Amen? Whatever that God is asking us, now we are with this topic, to inquire of God. Definitely God has given us what? How to inquire of him. You look at examples we have there, the call of Moses. I don't have mouth, I'm a stammerer. God made provision. Amen. The call of Gideon is quite interesting. The call of Gideon in Judges. He says, the leader of all the tribes, the angel appeared to him. And you know what the angel said to him? The Lord is with you, mighty warrior. After the Midianites have starved them. And now the Lord is calling to him to say, you are what? A mighty warrior. And hear what he says. Go in your strength. Go in the strength that you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you? Is God not calling you? God does not look at the circumstances around you. You see, poverty is not a statement or condition of your finance. Are we together? Because you don't have money, you say you are poor. The raw materials of whatever you will be in this life is in you. But you have to harness it. You have to mine it. You have to bring it up. The call of the disciples. They are Galileans. But he said he will make them fishers of men. He equipped them. They were afraid at first. But when the power came upon them, they stood. The very first general assembly in the whole world, they got converts. Peter stood. Peter that was swearing. I don't associate me with that guy. The call to be his witness. You shall receive power. God will never ask you to do something that he has not equipped you with. Say amen. That is why in 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 3, his divine power has given us everything for life and what? Godly living. Our competence comes from God. You know all this issue about inquiring of God? Left on our own, we will never inquire of God. Our flesh resists anything about God. So you better understand that. So since it is God's idea to inquire of him, he will teach you how to inquire of him rightly. And most of the time, God uses things around us so that we can comprehend, understand things in our lives, things in our daily businesses, in our homes, in work, to bring home to us how to do it. So what did he choose in terms of inquiring about God? He talked about mining. He talked about mining. And that's why I'm phrasing it on your bulletin, mining vs. mining God. You say, hold a moment, how do we mine God? The call to inquire of God is a call that is synonymous to mining. Inquiring, seeking the Lord is like mining precious metals, precious gems, gold, silver, diamonds, whatever it is, topaz. In Job chapter 28, you go and read it, it talks about mining, but particularly Job chapter 28 verse 1 to 2. Surely there is a mine for silver and a place where gold is refined. Iron is taken from the earth and copper is melted from ore. That's wonderful in the Bible. Job offers a vivid description of mining activities. It points to the industry of mining. Mining of hidden treasure in the depths of the earth since time immemorial. And what is the purpose of such a scripture in our lives? We know mining is a multifaceted industry and activity that encompasses the extraction of valuable resources from the earth. Economically, mining has contributed to the wealth and development of societies, but also plays a role in the cultural and religious significance of societies, often used in the construction of sacred objects and places. You know about that, the golden articles in the temple. You know about the issue of the Ark of the Covenant. Mining, however, requires skills, tools, and perseverance. Let me emphasize again, when we talk about mining, it is in the context. The truth is, you are mining yourself. You're looking for God, you look for yourself. If I find God, I find myself. You know, you remember in Esther, where Queen Esther with other ladies before she became the queen, they have to go through beauty treatment. Some of you that waste your time before you come to church because of cosmetics, you come late to church. because you want to look beauty. In the days of King Xerxes, before anybody appears before them, the woman, they go through what is called beauty treatment. 12 months. Right? 12 months. 6 months, they will be soaked in the oil of myrrh. And after another 6 months, spices and ointments made for women before they appear. Before you appear before the King of Glory, what shall you do? Mining serves as a powerful metaphor for the pursuit of wisdom and understanding. Let me take a little bit diver to talk about wisdom briefly before we continue. Wisdom in this Bible. Which chapter of Proverbs talks about wisdom? Lady Wisdom. Personification of wisdom in the Bible. Throughout the Old Testament, wisdom is closely associated with God's character and creative activity. Wisdom is an intangible quality of God, but is distinct from God. Wisdom of God is inseparably linked to God's will and purpose. Proverbs characterize wisdom and understanding as more precious than any earthly treasure. All right? We've been talking about gold. We'll talk about gold in mining. But now something better than gold. That's why it says what in Proverbs chapter 2 verse 4. It says, if you seek it like what? That is wisdom. If you seek it like silver and search it out like hidden treasure, then you will what? Discern the fear. How many people want to fear the Lord? Reverential fear of the Lord. This is it. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of and discover knowledge of God. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 1-3. Does not wisdom call out and understanding raise her voice on the heights overlooking the road? At the crossroads, she takes her stand beside gates of the city. At the entrance, she cries out. At any place, at any time, whatever you look at, it will speak back to you to tell you God is in that thing. Whatever the situation, if you intently look, that thing will speak back to you. When it is chaos, when you go out to see a crowd of Chinese in the airport or at the train station, God is speaking to you. You go to the garden, sitting down, beholding the beauty of the flowers, God is speaking to you. And you have the ability to discern it. I know that. Here, wisdom is portrayed as actively seeking to impart knowledge and guidance. In fact, the word of God says in Proverbs chapter 3, 13, verse 14, blessed is the man who finds wisdom, the man who acquires understanding, for if she is more profitable than what? Silver. Her gain is better than fine gold. Wisdom. When you talk about knowledge, it's like one-point dimension. And understanding is two-point dimension. When you have one point here, you draw, it becomes a line. But one wisdom, when you add the third line, you can have a triangle. You can do a lot of things with 3 points. But with 1 point, it's just one knowledge. You have two, it begins to make sense. When you have 3, you are not applying it in your life. Are we together? What is this wisdom? We say personification of wisdom. What is this wisdom? Next slide. Jesus Christ is the ultimate embodiment of wisdom. As we have a couple of scriptures, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 24, it says, Christ is the power of God and what? The wisdom of God. Colossians 2:3, in Christ are hidden all the treasures of what?
wisdom and knowledge. Wisdom was before creation and during creation. Proverbs 3:19, by wisdom the Lord laid the earth's foundation. Hallelujah. If you have Jesus, you have wisdom. What kind of wisdom are we talking about? We'll talk about that because we know the Greek philosophers are great with wisdom. They have influenced Western civilization. But where is their wisdom? Is there salvation in their wisdom? Aristotle, Socrates, all of them.
But we know for in Christ, Colossians 2:9, for in him dwells the fullness of Godhead bodily. Brothers and sisters, you can have wisdom but not have God. That's what I'm talking about, the wisdom of the Greek philosophers. Their wisdom is not deniable. They have influenced Western civilization, democracy, institutions. But do they have Jesus in them? No, they have this worldly wisdom. We don't deny physical reality. But there is no way you can have God in your life and not have what? The wisdom of God. And if you have the wisdom of God, you have God, and thus you have the will of God and purposes of God in you. And it's only left for you to put it into action. If you have God, you have the wisdom of God. You have the Lord Jesus Christ. And you have those things, you should know the will of God, the purposes of God in your life. Stop saying you don't know what is the will of the Lord. Let's go back to the mining. Mining versus mining God. Amen. Are we together? As we said, the Bible likens the kingdom of God like a treasure. That is mining. Matthew chapter 13, verse 14. The kingdom of heaven is like what? Hidden treasure. God says, seek me. Is he hiding? Why is he saying seek me? Why doesn't he just come in the open? He says it's like a hidden treasure in a field. When a man found it, he looked around, nobody see, he hid it somewhere. Then he went quickly and what? Sold everything. Gave up everything. He came and bought that land. And that is talking about you. If you know what treasure is, you will love it. Hallelujah. You will do everything to get it, to protect it, to secure it. You will hide it from anything that wants to waste it away. So what is the mining process if we want to go through this? Simply, I'm not going to explain much about it. There is the preparatory operations, setting the stage. There is the ore extraction and crushing, you know that. All right? There's the ore processing methods, concentrators and smelters. And after mining, usually to care for the environment, you put things together, management. So when you look at that preparatory operations, it involves site clearance and overburden removal. It needs survey. You need skills, tools, and perseverance. You know that it is hidden in the depth of the earth. So let's go and start with that preparatory aspect, setting the stage. Next slide. Hallelujah. Amen. You can see those bars of gold. You know, how many people are wearing gold jewelry here? You know, you like to wear them, but you don't know how it is being gotten. You don't know. Amen. Some of you have salvation. You don't know how that salvation came about. But you're going to know today. Amen. So that you cherish it and treasure it like never before. All right? Yeah, that guy sitting on that gold is feeling like, he's feeling cool. All right? I guess you will feel the same thing. Amen. When you are sitting, knowing what gold is today. All right?
There are many precious metals that we mine, but I'm focusing on gold only today. Amen. How time runs fast. I've got 15 more minutes. Somebody say amen. Somebody will say, Pastor, I give you my 5 minutes. One more. Somebody say 2 minutes here. Yeah. Come on, I'm asking for more minutes. Amen. Right. Gold, when you look at it, it is there in the era of prehistory. In ancient era, from ancient Egypt to Mesopotamia. In the Middle Ages, it was there. In the early modern era, it was there. In modern era of our time, now, gold. Gold story is humanity's story. Civilization have risen and fallen. Currencies have appeared and disappeared. Yet gold has endured. Not simply as a metal, but as a symbol of permanence, symbol of wealth, symbol of stability, symbol of security. For centuries, gold functioned as the backbone of trade, taxation, and savings, shaping the foundation of modern finance. Its presence in film, literature, art reflects something deeper than wealth, universal human attraction to permanence in an uncertain world. You remember, gold was in the Garden of Eden. You remember the Garden of Eden? There is a river that comes and spills into four, and it talks about the patient that goes around the land of Havilah, and they say that gold is good there. And it is God that kept it there. Hallelujah. Amen. The Ark of the Covenant, as I've said, even the golden calf of rebellion was made of gold. From the gold articles they collected from Egypt. Be careful with what God has given you. The golden vessels in the tabernacle, the golden lampstand, the walled streets and gates of heaven, and the golden streets that we have heard. It's all about gold, 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 gold. But that scripture says something. A good name is rather to be chosen than great riches, than all the gold of life put together. Wow. Do you have a good name? You have a good name? Maybe let's read other versions. Go to the next slide. NIV says what? A good name is more desirable than great riches. To be esteemed is better than silver or gold. God's word translation, it says, a good name is more desirable than great wealth. Respect, esteem, integrity is better than silver or gold. And something in Ecclesiastes 7:1 says, a good name is better than fine perfume. Wow. A good name. And that's our first point. That's our first point. What is the first point here? A good name. How do you come about a good name? Did you choose your name? Well, some of you have changed your name from what your parents gave you when you came out of this life. Maybe it doesn't sound like English name and want to live and with friends. Hey, Rachel. Hey, Emily. You don't want to be called Wawa. You don't want to be called. My sister changed her name, and even till there I kind of joke, pull her legs. My father used to call her Martha. But when she grew up, she was in nursing school, she changed it to Mercy. Good name. How do we get good name? So the very first point in terms of laying the foundation of this mining thing that we've been talking about, next slide, is the inquirer disposition. The inquirer disposition. What is disposition? I'm talking about a person's inherent qualities of mind, character, and nature. The constitution, the makeup of a person, and his inclination or tendency to do things is inherent in him. So the inquirer disposition. Why are you inquiring of the Lord? Can you inquire of the Lord? John 3:3, unless you are born from above, you cannot have a good name. No matter how beautiful your name sounds, it will only sound to the hearing of men, but not in the ears of God or his angels. But once you are born from above, you are spiritually transformed, renewed, sanctified. You cannot even see the kingdom of God unless you are born from above. Anyone that is in Christ is what? A new creation. We are talking about a regenerate. You are regenerated in Christ Jesus. And once you are born by the power of the Holy Spirit, God has given you a name in Christ Jesus. That will change your disposition. When the word of God comes to you, it talks to your conscience. And the first thing your conscience does is to awaken your will. And that's where the issue is. And there is one way that you can give up your will when you continually look at the cross. You see what the Lord has done for you. So the first line is the battle to submit your will. That you can win by giving up your will to surrender to him. The second line of battle is your flesh, which you cannot win, but you can control, you can starve it. Hallelujah. So once you are a regenerate, you are born again, then you will begin now to have the mindset of Christ in you. Philippians 2:5. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. It's talking about have this attitude in yourself, which was also in Christ Jesus. And what is attitude? In all, number one, I've come to do the will of the Father. In all situations and circumstances, one thing that Jesus holds on, I've come to do the will of the Father. You cannot do that if you are not born again. How many people are born again? Can you lift up your hands? Then you know the will of the Father. And begin to do the will of the Father today, no matter what your circumstance, what you are going through. Somebody say amen. Amen. It is the truth. Unless you are born again, you don't have the mindset of Christ, you don't have the nature of Christ, and therefore you cannot hear God. He who has the nature of the sea will what? Hear the call of the sea. Unless you are convicted, no matter how we preach, unless you repent, unless you are determined, intentional to commit yourself, no matter what we do, you waste your time. Pastor, pray for my anger. I don't know the pastor who will pray for you. Pray for my patience. The inquirer. Next slide. The inquirer disposition is the very first point. Because in Proverbs 8 verse 17, it says, I love them that love me. I love them that love me. Can man love God on his own? Can man of his own, his fallen nature, love God? We rather run away from him. We want to be our God by ourselves. What is the evidence in your life? Can you just think about that? If I ask, what is the evidence in your life that God loves you and you love God? What will you say? Tell your friend. What is the evidence that you know God loves you? What is the evidence that you know God loves you? Share your testimony. It's your brother. It's not a stranger. What is the evidence? Hallelujah. I pray that's your testimony. So that when God, some of you that will be very spiritual because I'm saved. Some of you that will be very spiritual will say, because I'm saved. He never mentioned because he has given me scholarship. He has given me visa. I have gotten another immigration. I'm going to another country. Oh, God has opened another door. That's the love of God. That's how God loves you. And you, how do you love God? So if God does not give you those things, will you still love God? Treasure salvation. Somebody say amen. Amen. The greatest gift of all. Even though God will never answer your prayer in this life, provided you have salvation, you will have the greatest gift from God. Let's continue with that verse. It says, and those that seek me early shall find me. Not early by 7 o'clock, 5 o'clock, you do all your morning devotion. Is to be born again. Is to live life that pleases God. That's the foundation. Somebody say amen. This is the foundation of how to inquire of the Lord. And after the foundation you build, hallelujah. So we talked about, next slide, we talked about now all extraction. I'll combine them, don't worry, I'll combine them. Somebody to give me 2 more minutes. I still have 10 minutes, all right? Somebody to add another 5 minutes somewhere, amen? Is there anybody adding 5 more minutes for me? You see how many hands? That's 10, 20, 30. Oh, hallelujah. Hey! Amen. All extraction and crushing in the process of mining. Let me show you a video clip. Can you give me that video clip? I just want you to go through something, what it means. You remember the first question I asked, that it's a serious business? Tough and messy, risky to serve God, to inquire of God? Are we there? It was when I went to bury my sister. After some weeks, I went to another place to my in-law, start from the beginning. And then he took me to a minefield. Look at the quarry there. Different mines from Nigeria. And I got some pictures from Zambia and other places. Look at the activities there. What is happening there? It's a serious business, right? Okay. Look at. That's a female there.